Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you today. Friday, October 18th, as we wrap up a week on choices in education. Actually, 2 weeks on choices in education. It's been a great conversation, and it's not quite done yet. Today, we're going to wrap it up with one more choice in education that we haven't really talked a lot about and don't hear much about these days, but one more choice in education. Have you thought about residential high school? We're going to talk with Reverend Paul Mell from St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri, here in just a minute. Before we get to that, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. They do a lot of great things, and including supporting Faith and Family here on Worldwide KFUO. If you want to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section and the CUW logo. Click on that. That'll take you to their page. You can find out all about the great programs that Concordia University, Wisconsin has to offer around the country. Their main campus in Mequon, Wisconsin, but programs and locations around the globe, really, including one right here in St. Louis. If you want to join the conversation today, as we're talking about St. Paul Lutheran High School, a residential high school for boys and girls in grades 9 through 12, if you want to join the conversation, if you have a question for our guest today, you can join the conversation in St. Louis. It's 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can send an email with your question or comment to family@kfuo.org. Joining us by phone today, Reverend Paul Mell from St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri. Welcome, Pastor Mell.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us today and spending some time talking about St. Paul Lutheran High School.
Good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your background and your involvement at St. Paul.
Oh, I've been a pastor since 86, and I started a Lutheran grade school in Arkansas when I was down there, and then for the last 10 years I've been called here as the executive director.
And how long has... tell us about the history of St. Paul Lutheran High School. It's nestled away in a kind of a quiet part of Missouri that everybody seems to see as they're driving from Kansas to St. Louis or St. Louis to Kansas City. And so tell us a little bit about St. Paul Lutheran High School.
Yes, we are one of those drive-through towns on Interstate 70. But we are one of the original boarding prep schools that was begun 130-plus years ago. As the Synod expanded after the Civil War, I think the opportunities out west were kind of growing by leaps and bounds. And it was tough to get students from Milwaukee. I think that was the other boarding school that people could go to. And it was primarily for young boys to become pastors. And so it was modeled after the old gymnasium, German gymnasium program, where you would have 6 years prior to the seminary. And it began at age 14, and the first 4 years were called a pro-gymnasium, which is basically our high school, and then a full gymnasium, which was a junior college. Later on in the 50s, they added two more years, which became the senior college, and after, I think, a while, it formed so much of the idea that... the American idea of education kind of superseded the old gymnasium program, and so we just have high schools and colleges now. But we still have been here and doing the same thing for 130 years, and a lot of our students still continue to go on to Christian education later on.
130 years, that's a long time to be doing education, and as you've pointed out, education has changed over that time.
It certainly has.
What does Lutheran residential education look like today?
Well, we're the only one left in the Missouri Synod. There was 10 of us, but we're the oldest high school in the Missouri Synod right now. There is one older high school, and that's Wisconsin, that does the same thing. I think Wisconsin has four or five residential schools. But for us, it's kind of difficult now to even recruit because I think parents have changed more than the students have. And the parents are not as excited necessarily of having their kids sent off. And they'll sometimes complain that, well, people get mad at us because they think we're bad parents for sending our kids away. And I always send them, no, you're sending them to this wonderful educational experience. There are three things that I think that we can do here that I don't think a lot of other high schools can do. And first of all, there's the Christian education aspect of it, which, you know, Luther said he wouldn't send any any of his kids to a place that wasn't steeped in Christian education. So we want to prepare them for the next level, spiritually, academically, and then socially. There's so many kids that could get out of high school that go to college that don't finish in 5 years because they don't know how to behave. They don't understand what a dorm life is like. There's a lot of different aspects of the social and spiritual aspects that they don't understand at the next level.
So you've mentioned students bound for college, you know, that this provides an opportunity for them to prepare for college. Would you describe St. Paul Lutheran High School as a college preparatory school?
Yeah, that's what we are. We're college prep.
And about how many students are enrolled on in a current year?
Well, we only have about 203 this year. So it revolves around 50 in a class, basically.
Do many of your students come from a particular location? What students do you serve?
Well, in the area here, there's probably about four grade schools in our small county area, Lutheran grade schools. So if I would say the majority, maybe 30% come from the area. So they would be day students or, commuting students. And then you have your domestic American students who they'll come from Montana or Minnesota or, you know, anywhere around the country. And that's probably another, 30%. And then we have students from about 17 countries around the world, and that makes up the rest. So
your students really, being the only Lutheran Church Missouri Synod residential school, your students really come from all over. You know, it sounds like you have a good group of students that come from, you know, upper Midwest or the Midwest or around the country, but also from around the world. How do the students on the other side of the world find out about St. Paul Lutheran High School?
Well, we've been doing international students for about two decades, maybe even longer. They were here when I was here in the 70s. So we had international students even then. For now, back then they didn't have the internet. A lot of times, initially there's agencies that you can contact and who contact us. And so we work with some agencies that do international students, and they look and find schools that will be good hosts. Some students would like to have host families, which means that you're in their home for that particular year. And other students would like to have more of a residential experience is what we do. And they can do that here for the whole 4 years. I think word of mouth is, you know, after a couple of decades of doing this, we have a lot of people who come because of word of mouth. And you got to have a good website. You have to have it translated in Chinese and Slovakian and Norwegian or whatever groups that you're catering to. We also have relationships with Lutheran entities around the world. So Concordia Middle School out of Taiwan, we have a relationship with that school. I have the Bishop of Slovakia send me a couple students every year from that country. And the Norwegian government sends us 25 students every year. There's two schools. There was one up in Minnesota and then ours that the government pays for their entire education here for 1 year. So, you know, the relationships with other groups and Lutheran entities around the world is very helpful.
That's quite interesting. And for the American students who attend there, it really is an opportunity to interact and meet and learn about cultures from around the world if you're drawing students from, you know, so many places, so many countries and cultures around the world.
Oh, absolutely. On Thursdays, we have mix-up day. We have round tables for lunch, and you can only sit next to one person from the same country on Thursdays. So you're kind of forced to, you know, interact with different students. Our homecoming queen this year was from Madagascar, little girl from, you know, way down under.
Now, the students that come from around the world, are many of them Lutheran? Are they coming from other backgrounds? Why do they choose? You know, I know you mentioned that the government in one country sends the students. Are they choosing it because it's a Lutheran school, because it's a residential school, or some other reason?
Well, for Norway, probably Lutheran didn't hurt. They're not necessarily overly spiritual mm-hmm. when they come from a lot of the European countries, but they understand that that's what we're going to be about. Let's say you're a South Korean, and 40% of South Korea is Christian. That's because the Presbyterians did a great job after the Korean War of doing evangelism over there, and so it's the most Christian country in Asia. But they don't have very many choices in college when they get out of high school. The highest suicide rate amongst teenagers is in South Korea, because the pressure from an Asian family sometimes is very tremendous to succeed. And so if they want to look around for options, they'll look at the United States, because the United States has a very respectable degree program within the colleges, but then they have to have a high school education to get there. So they're afraid of some things in America, that we export violence and a lot of other things in our culture. So they'll look at a map in the United States and they'll stay away from the coast because they hear about hurricanes. And when there was a tornado down in Joplin, I had a lot of phone calls. I said, mm-hmm. Are you near? I said, we're not even close. then they want to stay away from cities. They choose a small town in the middle of the United States and their finger hits Concordia, Missouri. And so, we pop up like that. And that's just one example. Mm-hmm. I think the word of mouth probably is the bigger thing, that we've had so many, and we get a lot of cousins and next door neighbors and whatnot from a lot of the countries that we've been working with over the years.
Sure. I remember in high school hearing about St. Paul Lutheran High School. As a matter of fact, the choir went on tour and came to our congregation and provide, gave a concert there. So I learned about St. Paul Lutheran High School that way. But then when I went to Concordia University in River Forest, now Chicago, some of my classmates, some of my friends were alumni.
And some of your professors were.
That's true. And some of my professors probably
Dave
were
Rogers
as well.
Came from here.
So many, I'm sure many fine folks have come through St. Paul Lutheran High School.
We probably graduated over 1,000 pastors.
Wow.
And we have district presidents, one synodical president. There's a lot of seminary professors and so forth got their start here, because that was just the way that you became a pastor, back in the day. And so not so much maybe as in the past, but we're still out there.
How is a Lutheran residential school, a high school, different than the education experience that a student might get at a public school or even a Lutheran day school? How is that different? Obviously, we know that the residential students are going to be living there on site, but are there ways that you think St. Paul is different than other than day schools? How would the experience be different for a student?
Well, I think there, as far as the Lutheran education, there's probably going to be a lot of similarities between most of the Lutheran high schools across the board. In fact, we don't even recruit 30 miles around a Lutheran high school in the United States. It's just because, that's their territory. But there's plenty of other mm-hmm. areas that we can recruit. So as far as the curriculum, I think that we focus pretty heavily on integrating the international concept into Christianity. And so there is a witness that needs to happen. We have to have a critical mass of Christians on our campus to witness to those who are, searching and are from another country and have never heard the gospel before. And so there's that opportunity already in that high school setting to do that. I think the dorm situation is probably the primary thing. We even try and get our local students who are day students to spend at least a semester in the dorm. We'll do an international trip every year. And if you go on the international trip, you can spend a semester in the dorm for free. So we switch out those things. And we go to places where we have students who have already been here, and maybe we gave a Lithuanian student a break on tuition and said, okay, we're going to send our students out there this next summer. So we've gone to Lithuania and the Great Wall of China, Bratislava, Costa Rica, and a lot of these different areas because that's where our people are from. And so when they head off to college, they're going to look at maybe a the rest of the freshmen in their class who this is their first time away from mom and dad, and they're going to be behaving differently than a kid who's been 4 years already in a dorm, but it was in a controlled Christian environment, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it just, that's why I say socially it gets them, socially and spiritually, more than anything that gets them ready for sometimes the bombardment at college. It's such a big change for students.
What role do parents play in the education at St. Paul Lutheran High School?
Let me see.
How are students and parents connected? You know, okay. I know today, you know, it's certainly different than what life was like 50 years ago when it comes to technology and communication. How do students stay connected with their families?
Well, this is just an interesting conversation I had yesterday with some people, and a lot of the times it has to do with sports and coaching and how parents are a little bit more involved in their kids', you know, athletic lives than they used to be. When I went here, we didn't have any parents hardly ever show up to games because back then, maybe only two or three kids in my entire class here were local. And we have a lot more local parent involvement here than before. And for the parents, it was okay. They didn't come here for the sports, and I think there's sometimes an overemphasis on, you know, the sporting aspect of it, of a high school experience. They want to live vicariously through their kids, and we try and discourage that. That's just a lot of pressure in that regard. But otherwise, you know, Skype is just a tremendous thing for, let's see, our Norwegians will Skype their parents a couple of times a week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, same thing with our African contingent. And so it's there's a lot of contact in that way. The internet with their grades. Probably the parents today know more about what their kid is doing in school ever than my parents did that got a report card every quarter. You know, they're knowing every day what's going on here because of the electronic access that they've got. So,
and it looks like you just recently celebrated a parents and homecoming weekend.
Yeah, that was last week. Uh-huh.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? What activities are a part of that?
Well, homecoming here is kind of fun because they come from, well, we had eight Norwegians return from last year, and they just kind of joined in. They can only come for their junior year, the Norwegians. And so they came back for their senior week of homecoming, and they got to do all the activities that one does for homecoming. And it's a typical thing that I think a lot of high schools do. You have different dress-up days and whatnot. And then there's challenges throughout the week, your games and whatnot. When the parents come on campus, for some of them, it's the first time they've met a teacher because it's because they're coming from 7 hours or whatever. And so Saturday of last week was a lot of parents in the building. We have breakfast for them, and then we get to show them around where their kids have classes and get to talk with their teachers, maybe for the first time, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like an open house in a sense for them. And then so the parents get to meet teachers and visit around campus. Anything else on that weekend?
Well, there's just tons. There's bonfires. There's we have a talent show, and anybody can go to the talent show. There's a world party where everybody, it's kind of like a big potluck that everybody shows up to. And it becomes a lot of tradition that you do every year that a lot of people look forward to. So it's a big time for, I think, the new kids especially to kind of get into the program, and then they're saints, then they're into it, yeah.
St. Paul Lutheran High School Saints. You're a mascot of the Saints.
Yeah, kind of cheesy, but
no, it's hey, we are Saints by God's work. How about holidays? You mentioned you have a lot of international students. Do students go home for holidays and for breaks?
Yeah, you know, and in this community here, we have to have a lot of people. We call them adoptive parents, and so on the weekends and so forth, they can go home for a meal or go shopping with a local parent that kind of adopts them. Over the holidays, especially Thanksgiving, Christmas, spring break, and Easter, we really have to hustle to try and find home stays for them for that week or sometimes 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they can fly all over the United States. Sometimes a kid will come in here and say, I'd like to have a home stay in New York City because I want to go see stuff in New York City. And so I have some friends out in New York that we try and connect them with. Another group this year is going to go up to Montana. The Norwegians come over with their parents during spring break every year, and they do New Orleans. And, you know, last year I think they went to the Grand Canyon. So that's something that we don't have to work with. But we have to find places for 98 students.
Wow.
Every holiday, every year. And it gives, I think, the community people here an opportunity to experience the international program, too.
Absolutely. If our listeners are interested in hosting a student for break,
absolutely. We take all comers.
And how would they go about that? Just contact?
Well, they would just call the school at 660-463-2238, talk to Rita, and Rita will just say, we'll put you on the list. And generally, if you call in and want a student, you'll probably get one.
So,
or two.
And that's and that's a great opportunity to learn about another culture from that student, too, another culture, another part of the world, simply by hosting a student. It's a short experience with, I guess you could say, a short exchange student experience.
And we've had a number of students go to St. Louis. Just about every year, somebody from St. Louis picks up a few kids.
So. Wonderful. And like you said earlier, some want to go explore other parts of the country as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have listeners all over who may want to host a student for one of the breaks for one of the holidays.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, we've got to take a break here in just a minute. And when we come back from that break, though, I'd like to talk more about the day-to-day things. What is the daily schedule look like? What classes can the students take, and extracurricular activities and those types of things? So,
sure.
So stick around for more right here on Faith and Families. We're talking with Reverend Paul Mell from St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Organ donation is a good thing, but new evidence shows you need to be careful when considering this for yourself or a loved one. In the past, they've had what they called the dead donor rule. You make sure the patient is dead before harvesting organs. But a frightening article in the New England Journal of Medicine published an opposing view. They say the patient doesn't have to be dead for it to be ethical. Death only has to be imminent. Who defines imminent? We've seen advocates of euthanasia use the same wording. Imminent or not, it's dead wrong to kill a patient for his or her organs. It's opening Pandora's box. If you destroy people's trust in the organ donation system, nobody will want to be part of it for fear of their own lives.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
338!
Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu vaccine. It is your best defense against the flu. Annual vaccination against flu is recommended for all people 6 months of age and older, unless they have a condition or medical reason not to get the vaccine. Stay in the game, get vaccinated, and help us tackle the flu.
To find a flu vaccine clinic near you, go to mo.gov and click on the flu vaccine locator. This message is brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, the president of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Did you know it only takes a few words or a kind gesture to lift up someone in need of hearing the gospel? You can help LCMS Ministries concentrate on doing more and reaching more. With the Lutheran Church Extension Fund investment, you empower ministries with loans and resources that keep the mission moving forward. Investments directly benefit LCMS schools, congregations, care centers, universities, and international ministries. Visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233.
She hung out with the wrong crowd, talked back, and would disconnect from the family for days, and they wondered, what happened to our daughter? On the next Focus on the Family, a firsthand account of how you should respond when your teen or young adult makes destructive choices. Encouragement from a mom and dad who have been there on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO.
The post of U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom is vacant once again. AP State Department correspondent Matt Lee says Susan Johnson Cook has left the position she's held for the past year and a half.
It was vacant for almost 2 years before she took over that post. And there have been some who criticized the administration for allowing it to stay open so long and said that that was a sign that the administration didn't consider this much of a priority.
In a statement Thursday, the State Department says the U.S. will continue to call for protection of religious minorities.
I don't think that her departure means that it will be taken any less seriously. I would note, though, that, you know, on the grand scale of issues that the administration is confronting right now, religious freedom is probably not in the top 10.
The law creating the ambassador's post also calls for naming countries of particular concern that restrict religious freedom, but other issues usually have received higher priority. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Finishing up our discussion on choices in education today, we're talking about residential Lutheran high schools. And, well, it's down to one now. One residential Lutheran high school. And if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a question for our guest today, Reverend Paul Mell at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri, about St. Paul Lutheran High School, if you have a question about that, you can join the conversation. Give us a call at 314-821-0850 in St. Louis. Outside of St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. Pastor Mel, before we went to break, we were talking about the history and some of the great things aspects of St. Paul Lutheran High School. I'd like to take a look at a typical day at St. Paul.
All right. Well, obviously we got to serve meals every day for, you know, even on weekends. So breakfast, 7:30. We do faculty devotions and our informer kind of informal time together as a faculty and at 7:25 to 7:40. Then there's homeroom for every student. Every student probably is in a homeroom of 13 to 14 kids in a homeroom. They'll have devotions. They'll go over what's supposed to happen that day, and that's about 15 minutes. Then there's first hour. Just you got your regular hours through the day. There's chapel at 8:50 to 9:10, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. There's meeting times on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So you go through 7 hours. The last hour of the day is choir and then a couple other classes. Choir is at the end of the day because just about half the student body tries out for the choir. It's a nationally known choir. We've sung at Carnegie Hall last year and various places throughout the Bill Gasell is the choir director, and he's done this for over 40 years.
And a fantastic job, I might add. I enjoyed the concert. It's been almost 20 years since heard the choir at that concert, but it was fantastic.
Well, the kids just love doing it, and they learn to sing here, and that's kind of fun. We're going to get a new student Monday, I think, from Fargo, North Dakota, because we sang there last year.
Wow.
Anywho, after that, there's your typical practices, there are ball games, then there's supper at 5:30 to 6. They have some free time till 7:30, and then there's mandatory study hours from 7:30 to 9. Generally, for those individuals, at the beginning, everybody has them. You can get off study hours if your GPA is high enough, so there's little carrots that you throw out there. There's 9 to 10, it's free time and open gym, and then back in the dorm at 10 for everyone. Lights out at 10:30 for freshmen and sophomores. Lights out for juniors at 11, and then the weekends there's going to be a little bit more leeway on that. So
now, 10:30 for freshmen and sophomores, and later for juniors and seniors, but breakfast is from 7 to 7:30. I would probably be fast asleep by 8, 9 o'clock if I...
Well, you can go to bed earlier. There's no reason to stay up late. Yeah. And the thing is, there's a lot of kids who their time difference with their family is, in their country is 7 hours or 12 hours or whatever, and they're going to try and Skype them, whenever they can. So we don't have a lot going to breakfast, and that's probably typical of even college campuses. So
they skip out on the breakfast and just go straight to class.
Yeah, maybe there'll be something in homeroom. Some local kid will bring up, some sweet rolls or something.
Is there a uniform? Are students required to wear a uniform?
That comes up every year. We don't have uniforms, and my take on it is this. We are going to get them ready for the next level, and there's not going to be uniforms in college, but you are going to have to look decent. So there's going to be a dress code, and one can quibble a lot about dress codes in high school and so forth. I think after a while you see the culture here on campus is such that you just don't want to look like that. That's not us. And, sometimes at the first couple weeks, there's a little bit more leeway, but we get down to it, and after a while, they look fine. Wednesdays is a dress-up day. You have to dress for chapel, and we want them to look like they would be looking at a job interview. And so, there will be ties and polos and decent slacks and so forth. So we're just trying to get them ready for the next level.
Sure, practicing wearing, dressing for the job you want.
We even have some college guys who weren't here last year who they talked about, I still dress up on Wednesdays because it's a habit.
It's a habit now. Yeah. And that's a good habit to start. Just hope their interviews occur on a Wednesday.
Yeah, right? That's right.
When it comes to the curriculum, what courses are available for students at St. Paul Lutheran High School?
Well, I think you're going to have your things that you have to have on a college prep program. I think that probably we're very strong right now in chemistry. We have a PhD chemist who does that, and he does college chemistry. We probably offer about 33 to 36 credits of dual credit college classes through the Concordia University system. And those are all taught by our own teachers because the rule here is you have to have a master's degree or above within 5 years of employment here so that you can teach college-level classes. So there's a lot of that going on. Most of it's through Concordia University and Seward, where they'll get their credits from or their transcript from after they graduate.
So potentially, how many college credits could they
33.
Potentially? 33. Wow.
So they can get... Yeah. A lot of college out of the way. My son, I think, when he went to Mequon, little plug in there for Mequon, went in 3.5 years, so saved me $10,000.
Sure. Yeah, that's basically freshman year for the most part, almost. That's 1 year if a student's taking about
18. And this is not online or ITV classes. They're taught by, real-life people you can ask questions for.
Mm-hmm. Right in the classroom. So English courses, social studies courses...
Yes. Yeah. Well, You don't want me to go through the list.
What about religion and theology? What does that look like at St. Paul?
Well, we have a three-track system. If you, most of our international students who, they're going to kind of go through a test right at the very beginning. If you've never had any experience with Christianity, there is an intro to Bible class that they take. And then that sets them in motion for, Bible history and then systematics, apologetics, and whatnot. The second group comes in. They probably went to a Lutheran grade school, and they've had some of this stuff ahead, so they're going to go in the next track. And, it might include comparative doctrine and so forth. The third group is our church worker preparation students, and about 25 to 30% of our domestic students are going to go into professional church work. So we've talked with Concordia Seward about coming up with some sort of program where we can get them ready for an advanced level once they get into the university system there. And so they're going to take college Old Testament, New Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, before they get out into Seward. And so that's a separate track also. So we kind of have three tracks for the various people, depending on how they come in. So
they can earn college credit through Concordia University, Nebraska, in Old Testament and New Testament theology classes.
Correct.
Wow. That's a fine head start.
Yeah.
I know I would have appreciated that. And then when it comes to the arts, what opportunities are available?
Well, there's your typical band and choir that we have. There's an introduction to the theater. We have a big theater program here on campus. So if you're not involved in, see, you're not into sports and so forth, there are a lot of other things that you can be involved in. The art teacher we have is a great graphic artist graduate out of Seward, and so you have art 1, 2, and ceramics. Because this was a junior college, we have probably a lot of the residuals of that upper level type stuff that you can get into in ceramics and in mm-hmm. The different art programs, because we have a really phenomenal fine arts building that was kind of built for that.
Sure, and having that space dedicated for that is important if you're going to teach those classes. So
yeah.
It's nice to have that already in place. What about business or family and consumer sciences? Any classes in that area?
Yes. Well, there's some that are required by the state of Missouri now. Personal finance is one of them. And a lot of the web design, there's a lot of practical arts things that dealt with now with computers. There's a number of classes that one could take in that area, in those areas.
And then for some it's dreaded, for some it's loved, and that is foreign language.
Well, yeah, we've taught German here forever. I think since 130 years ago we've taught German, and so we still teach German. There's also Spanish is big. The thing is, most of our international students know three languages. They'll come in with French, and they'll be talking French with each other. And even none of them are from France, but a lot of the African countries speak French. So what you can pick up from them is probably good. But Spanish and German are the two major ones. What's really big here is math, because our huge number of Asian students, they do learn math differently. Their minds are wired differently, and math is something they are very good at. We have not lost a math contest in like 15, 20 years.
Wow.
And it's just, they really raise the bar in that particular area. Yeah. So we have a very strong math program.
And again, they can earn college credit in courses. What's the highest level math that you offer?
Well, college calculus.
Wow.
Which I would have no clue.
It's amazing. We were talking with a family recently, or a school recently, and they had students who were, they had one student who was ready for calculus in eighth grade. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Extracurricular activities. What are some of the things that students do beyond the classroom when it comes to arts and sports and things like that?
Well, because we're kind of involved in training teachers also, we have a STAY program. They go down to the local grade school. It's a Lutheran grade school. It's about two blocks away. They do student teaching adolescent youth is what it's called, and so they kind of get some practice of seeing what it looks like in the classroom if they're going to think about that sort of profession. And then as far as sports go, you got your typical things, football, volleyball, cross country. We just started soccer because our international students, that's really going to be the main thing they do. In a school of 200 students, when you try and have boys soccer and football, it's really kind of tough to field both, but we tend to do okay in that. Then there's girls and boys basketball, softball, baseball, track, girls soccer, golf. I don't know. I'm going to miss something.
But it sounds like you have plenty of opportunities. How do they fit it all in is the question with their busy schedule. Just looking through their busy schedule, as you mentioned earlier, you know, from 7 in the morning if they make it to breakfast, and then time for practice in the afternoon and evening studies. That's a lot to pack into a day.
Well, that is. And that's going to be part of what life is going to be about, is to budget your time and get it all done. I think that's why the mandatory study hours, okay, this is not going to have any practice, nothing else going on. You're going to have an hour and a half here, mm-hmm. probably 2.5 hours if you use your 9 to 10. You know, sometimes people will look at coming into Concordia, Missouri, it's a little over 2,000 people. There's nothing to do in this town, someone said, but I'm too busy to notice. So we want them to be busy, and they are busy.
Sure. You mentioned sports. You mentioned choir being the last hour of the day and, mm-hmm. and band. You mentioned theater. Is there a production?
Oh, we do two productions a year. It's kind of nice because we have a building that was an old gym back in 1925, and it's been converted into a theater. It works very well for that. So there's a big theater program here on campus.
Wonderful. And spiritual life. When you mentioned chapel earlier, mm-hmm. what does spiritual life look like for students at St. Paul? Because I imagine, you know, high schools, day school, the students are only there part of the day, but then they're back at their home congregation on Sundays, probably, you know, at a regular day school.
Well, when they sign up for school here, when they apply, there's a question on there that says, you have to go to church on Sunday, and it's a requirement. So that's what you're signing up for, even if you're not a Christian. This is what you have to do. and by saying, yeah, we can do that, most of the people here says, well, okay, I'm curious about it. So what's it about? So we have an international service on Sunday nights. Probably 60 kids are in that. And we don't do any music because the cultures are so different. You know, you're going to leave somewhat out in that regard. It's a very basic service, and they kind of get the gist of what Christianity is about, and it's very catechetical, you know, when we go through that. Other than that, the homeroom devotions, the chapel, there's even devotions in the dorms. Sometimes our girl dorm supervisor, I know she does this, she'll put little devotions on the back of the bathroom stalls so they can read something while
captive audience.
Yeah. Anyway, there's all those opportunities.
You brought up another interesting point. You know, when students, high school students are away, obviously parents aren't there. Someone has to stand in the stead and take that role of parent to some degree. And obviously the faculty are probably, I'm sure they're caring, but that home life, that dorm life, tell us a little bit about the role of the dorm supervisor.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have three dorms right now. I have more boys than I have girls, and so I have two dorms for boys. So I have two more men who are doing that. Scott and Hannah and Eric are my dorm supervisors. They do a great job of running the dorms. They have dorm essays, student assistants, just like you would in college. Generally, they are upperclassmen, and they learn responsibility and how to interact with each other if there's issues or problems. Since I went to it, I can't imagine not doing it. The faculty will walk through during study hours and help out students with their homework, and this is kind of something you're not going to get, you know, a lot of other places. Your chemistry professor stopping by and saying, okay, how are we working on this problem at 8 o'clock at night? What's interesting is a lot of students who might balk or butt heads with their parents won't in this situation because it's everybody's in the same boat, and it's not their parents. And so we see that a lot of times the parents will say, what'd you do to my kid? I say, what are you talking about? Say, well, he's respectful. He does what I asked him now. and it's not always the case, but a lot of times, you know, parents and kids don't always see eye to eye, but somehow the situation changes when they get into a group, mm-hmm. a large group setting.
So the students have that study time. You mentioned faculty quite often will come through during that time. Do many of your faculty live in the immediate area?
Well, back in the day, all the teachers here up until 1950s were all pastors because that was the synodical system. And so they all had parsonages. I think that this school owned probably over 20 houses in Concordia.
My.
We now only own 8 or 9. So I do have faculty housing for a number of faculty, but a number of them wanted to buy their own homes, and so it works out fine. But most of them are within 5 miles of the school. But we do have a number of faculty who live within 2 blocks.
So they're readily available. And
oh, yeah.
You probably don't have snow days too often.
Someone mentioned that in 1919, scarlet fever came through campus, and one boy died. And the campus shut down for a week. The campus did not have a snow day or shut down until 2003. It had been that long since they had a snow day, and that's because it was an ice storm or something, and a power line snapped and cut the campus in half because there was a live power line cutting across campus. But we don't have a lot of snow days.
You might have a lot of snow, but not a lot of snow days.
That's right. Trudge through it. Because they're here. We got to feed them. We got to do everything else with them. So
right.
Yeah. Class.
Carry on. Another question that parents might have who are, you know, potential families that might be looking at St. Paul Lutheran High School. What if my child gets sick while he or she is there?
Well, and they go to the nurse who is here every morning. Generally, they can go back to their rooms and hang out. In my day, there was a little place called a clinic that we all had to go to. But nobody likes being sick away from home. Mm-hmm. There's probably the most homesickness when you're sick, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not normal and your mom and dad's not around. And so we understand that. We have some very compassionate, wonderful people that deal with these things. The local doctor here in town knows our school very well. You know, his kids all went here, and he was on our board for years. It's just a good relationship here in town.
I would imagine that freshmen, you probably experience homesickness, that they miss their families if that's their first time away from home for an extended amount of time. Is that pretty common?
I think the most homesickness we've seen has been amongst Norwegian girls. I don't know why. And sometimes Taiwanese girls. You maybe don't see it so much in guys because they got to be tough or whatever. But you see a lot of homesickness. And maybe it might last for a week. I did lose one girl this year, first time. She was a Norske. She just had to go home. She just wasn't going to function. And we gave it 2 or 3 weeks, and I said, okay, well, she went home. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody.
Sure. And you say it's not for everybody. That was my next question. Who is a great candidate for St. Paul Lutheran High School? Who's the ideal student for St. Paul?
Well, first of all, let me tell you who's not a great candidate.
Okay.
Sometimes we think, oh, it's a boarding school, it's a reform school. That is not what we are. And sometimes I'll get those phone calls. We can handle one or two of those in a year, but generally somebody who's been raised well, especially a domestic parent who's done a, taught their kid what Christianity is about, that knows how to witness their Christianity. In the past, it was mostly pastors' kids and farmers' kids who were going to go into ministry. There was just the 80% of the student body. That's who it was. But especially if you're looking for Christian education and you don't have a Lutheran high school in your area, we're a good option. And you have to get past the fact that our culture thinks that you're not doing the right thing because, nobody else wants to be looked at as odd for doing something strange like sending their kid away to a school. That's probably my biggest concern amongst parents. Moms especially. If you can get past the mom, you're okay.
And probably the other big question with just a couple of minutes to wrap up here, the big question everybody wants to know, if they're thinking, okay, this might be a good fit for us, how are we going to pay for this?
Yeah.
What does it look like? Are there forms of aid? How much is this going to cost us for a student if we have more than one student going, or is there a discount? Those are some questions that'll come up, I would imagine.
And my answer is always this. We do not turn people away for lack of funds. We work with every family, and we'll just begin with this. The typical boarding school cost in the United States of America is $32,000.
For a year?
For 1 year, and that sounds like a lot, and it is. The most we charge is an international student cost $23,000. When we were below 20, we didn't get very many hits, but when we went over 20, then they said, oh, you must be worth it. So there's just a little bit different mindset sometimes with different people. With a lot of our international students who are from second or third world countries, we'd give them huge discounts just to get them here. So we have the agreements with Slovakia and Africa. A dorm domestic student, room, board, and tuition totally is around $15,000. But you're going to pay probably $5,000 of that anyway, just having your kid at home, feeding them, and everything else that we're going to be having to do here.
And teenagers can eat a lot.
They can. So nothing is going to be free, but on the other hand, we do have programs that will fit anybody's budget. I gave a little girl from Liberia $50 a month is what she paid, because that's what she could afford, and that was probably more than she could afford, but she paid $50 a month. But they were going through a civil war in Liberia, and she needed to be here. So that's what we did. So we'll work with anything.
St. Paul Lutheran High School, a college preparatory school, residential school, with a number of options to prepare students for college, to prepare students who are thinking about a church vocation. It really can prepare students for a variety of fields. You've shared quite a bit with us today, and we really appreciate your time today. Anything else before we go?
Just thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about ourselves.
Absolutely. And if folks want to find out more, we'll post a link to St. Paul Lutheran High School on our website when post the archive of today's show. And visits, I would assume folks can come check out St. Paul.
That's true. We have one dorm dedicated just for visits. You can come here and stay for free in our hotel. And the best way to experience the place is to come and see what it looks like.
And it's a nice, quiet place. I've been there. If you're ready to get away from the busyness, it's a nice, well, it's going to be busy there, but it's a little bit quieter place than some of the other places we probably spend much of our time.
Sure.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mel, for spending time with us today and talking about St. Paul Lutheran High School. We really appreciate your time and learning about residential high school.
Well, thank you.
God's blessings.
You too. Bye.
Coming up next week on Faith and Family, well, there's a church holiday right around the corner. It's a church holiday, not necessarily Halloween, but Reformation Day right around the corner. So stick around next week on Faith and Family. We're going to talk about learning about and celebrating the Reformation and Lutheran heritage. It's going to be a great week. Monday, we'll kick off the week and we'll talk with Linda Lorenz, the curator at Saxon Lutheran Memorial down in Frohna and Altenburg area in Perry County, Missouri. So it's going to be a great week as we learn about the Reformation and Lutheran heritage. Coming up next right here on Worldwide KFUO, Moments of Assurance. Stick around for great music.